This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. A prayer for the pilgrimage, for discerning the will of God. O Lord, you who guide me in the way everlasting, grant me the ability to hear your voice. I pray the wisdom to know the way forward, the courage to choose it, and the humility to accept it as your good, pleasing, and perfect will for me. I pray in the name of the one who establishes my steps in love and sets me within the company of the wise. Amen. That was written by W. David Taylor. So today in the gospel, Jesus sends the disciples off to preach the gospel and to encounter the snakes and the scorpions. Nice, huh? I remember when I was a Girl Scout, one night we woke up and there were scorpions and we all screamed and had to go to the cafeteria. That's my extent of scorpion dealing. And it's not fun to live in Florida sometimes with all these things, is it? So when he sends him off, he talks about shalom, and shalom is about peace on earth, but it's so much more than that. Our former presiding bishop, Catherine Shiori Jeffers, said, it's about everybody eating, everybody being safe, everybody having a home, everybody being loved. So it's bigger than just peace, and we need to remember that and hope and pray for God's kingdom to come. Barbara Brown Taylor is a renowned Episcopal priest, and she talks about how we all are searching, and in our searching, we're hungry for holiness. And yet, our ground that we're trying to be grounded in is always shifting. Do you agree? Always changing. And she uses certain words to transcend boundaries on our journey as we're sent off by Jesus. The first one she says is we must have reverence, knowing what is holy and treating it with dignity and respect. The second is we must confess. We have to recognize our mistakes and admit them to Jesus. The next is forgiveness. We have to let go of anger and resentment. We have to let it go, move on. We have to practice reconciliation, where we prioritize our relationships and work on establishing healthy communication. We have to lament. We have to mourn and recognize that life is a series of losses. And we go into the wilderness, understanding that we live in mystery and the unknown. And lastly, we have to practice wonder. With wonder, we have to appreciate the beauty that we encounter in the world and savor it as we approach it. Traveling in life, literally and metaphorically, is a universal theme and present in every religion and every cultural tradition. Pilgrimages produce personal growth and also, hopefully, a spiritual awakening. The journey motif has a rich and profound sense of story. We all experience life and with its twists and turns into the mysterious future. When I was at Palmer Trinity, I had two colleagues. One was Julio Carrasco and the other was William Gonzalez, and they both were from Cuba, but they had very different stories. Julio left and on a plane flew to Canada and was able to come into America and do everything legally. William told a story of facing the brutal waters of shark-infested the Atlantic and the Caribbean, and he has no idea how he survived, because they put him on an island, and he was able to come back, and he was really very, 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 very weak. Both told such different stories, as everybody does coming to this country. But I have to talk to you about how these people that we're talking about leaving, that Jesus sends off, they're giving up their home, They're leaving their beloved families. They're moving into the real unknown, and they are shaken to their very core, as Julio and William were both as well. We never know what the full outcome's going to be with our journeys, do we? They're exterior and they're physical, but then they're also interior and emotional and psychological. We journey in this way in very complex times and diverse people with unique places. Journeys that are chosen are very different from journeys that are forced upon us. I would say both are difficult. We learn so much from our travels in so many ways. My mother was a war bride, as I've told you. She was happily living in Australia when she met this handsome lieutenant who was working for Douglas MacArthur, fell madly in love, and they ended up getting married. Sounds like a great love story, right? Yes and no. Yes and no. I didn't really realize this until 2011 when I went back to Australia and I realized what she had given up. She gave up her beloved family. Always makes me cry. She gave up everything except one thing, and that was her church. She quickly went to the Episcopal Church, Church of England, Anglican Episcopal Church, and she found her way in the church. I would tell you the reason I'm standing here today is because of my mother's faith, without a doubt. But why I'm crying is because she never felt at home in Australia, and she never felt at home in America ever again. She felt very torn. And anybody who leaves a homeland does that. I think that happens to all of us. Do you remember when you left for college? You enjoyed college, but didn't you miss home? I did. And it's a constant pull on these journeys of whether you should have stayed or whether you should go. And what are your choices? Her choice was to stay in America. I remember people asked me all the time, when's she going back to Australia? And she said to me, I went once in 1958. I was 18 months old. She said, I will never go again because I would not have come home again. And I knew I had to choose your father. And they were happily married for 50 years. But still, it's a torture. It's a struggle. Let's not underestimate the power of this Jesus sending people off. When you're sent off, it's not easy, and you will be faced with choices you haven't chosen. I think about other people in history, like Harriet Tubman and Abraham Lincoln. They're transformed by their wanderings, aren't they? Harriet from slavery to be one of the first women to lead the United States Army. She led troops. And look at Abe Lincoln, from being a log splitter to president of the United States. You just never, never know. And journeys can be very painful. I'm a big fan of the 12-step program. The journey of struggle, of addiction and recovery is so difficult. And it doesn't just all of a sudden end, does it? It's a constant process of how do we deal with this? How do we struggle? And how do we stay sober? We have to grapple with life's obstacles. I love the Benedictine route of that, of the 12-step program, the confession and reconciliation, all the different steps. And you know, everybody ultimately faces life alone, but we also face it in a group. That's kind of a struggle, isn't it? Like when we are born, we do it alone, unless we're a twin, but when we die alone, right? And so we have to accept the fact that as much as we're surrounded by loving people, we also have things that we have to do alone, but we also encounter community. We encounter very diverse people, families, and friends. Everybody changes us. You will be changed after you leave this service. We are always changed. I think about how I was changed by Wes, and I have to tell you, every time I walk in that kitchen now, I'm a little sad that Wes isn't there, because on days that nobody else was in the church, I'd go in there and he was cooking. I have to adjust to that. One of my favorite poems is Robert Frost's The Road Less Traveled. I'm not going to read it to you because you all know it, and I'm sure I'll do it in another sermon. But I love the way he explores our choices and how whichever choice we make, we're going to regret not choosing the other one. It's a great one. And Mary Oliver does one called The Journey. And at the end of that poem, it's about all journey is about self. You come back to yourself and how powerful that is. So we get into the existential meandering of the journey. And then, of course, we have people that take these pilgrimages, like our own Linda. Where'd she go? Linda Sorensen, who, she's upstairs, who did the Camino, the Santiago de Compostela. And I've had Bishop Rickle and other people, the dean of the cathedral, the provost of the cathedral, they've all done this recently. And I am a big fan of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. I've taken a journey to the Holy Land. I've had students take the March of the Living, where you go first to Poland and see what happened with the Holocaust, and then you go to Israel and you experience the joy of that. There are so many others. Muslims take the Hajj. And so what happens is you go on these trips, these journeys. They're not only physical, but they're also emotional. And you have self-awareness, hopefully, and you're able to experience celebration and ecstasy, as well as remorse and regret. And of course, it wouldn't be a journey without Odysseus. He travels all over the place after the Trojan War, 10 years. I don't know if I would have lasted for 10 years without my husband. It's kind of crazy, but Penelope takes a journey too. Does she go anywhere? No. She stays home, and she has to defend her home and her son, Telemachus. So it's an interesting juxtaposition of the person that takes the journey and the person that has the journey that is in the same place. So we know that life is unexpected, and our dance of life is engagement and disengagement. We meet ourselves in different places, and we are renewed and recreated each day by our own journeys. Like the disciples sent off by Jesus, we are sent off to explore our own lives and the impact of our lives on other people. That's so important. Jesus shows us how to make decisions of goodness and justice and act with mercy and grace. We're able to be equipped to support each other on the path to become closer and more entwined with Jesus if we choose to follow him. He enriches our love for each other. And when we die, our lives are left with the power of our relationships and love for one another. And I read this and I thought this was so appropriate to end my sermon with. It's inspired by Albert Einstein. Our brief passage through life is nothing short of remarkable. We arrive without a map, our purpose unwritten, just fleeting souls beneath the silence of the stars. Some craft meaning from chaos. Others simply seek clarity in the days we're given. Yet one truth pulses beneath all the noise. We exist in relation to each other. Our greatest joys stem from the laughter, presence, and peace of those we hold dear. What matters is not how long we stay, but how fully we love and who we choose to carry in the quiet chambers of our hearts. Amen.